This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Well, in just 2 or 3 days, it's going to be another year, and this is our New Year's program. And I have to say that I've been just a little bit of stress the last few days because I didn't know what to talk about, and I had so many themes, and none of them seem right. And all the other shows, I've been basically inspired. And some of the inspirations worked better than others. And sometimes the inspiration worked better because I had words for what I wanted to express. And the other part of it, that you had ears to hear me, even if my words weren't quite right. So today, I'm sitting in my home in Arizona and thinking of you out there and thinking of me in the last year. And wanting to somehow talk to you about Reiki and my path in Reiki this last year. I won't bore you with details, though for some of you it might not be boring. But there's a deeper place I want to go, which feels a bit like, more like the human experience possibly, and maybe you can relate to it more. You know, the word cancer has a very interesting response from people. And I think that when I first heard the word, when it applied to me a year and a half ago, all those things came up for me. Fear, the great enemy, the great failure, and all those kinds of thoughts flitted through my head. And then I realized that this was a gift to me, that my body was trying to tell me something. And that's what I taught in all my Reiki classes. That's what I told myself whenever something would happen that I didn't like. It's a gift. Open yourself. See what it's about. So I had to apply the same thing to this condition that we call cancer. And it wasn't easy, but it wasn't that hard either, because I had had 30 years of Reiki to back me up. It isn't that all those 30 years of Reiki were just cream. The first 10 years, as most of the people will tell you who knew me back then, I thought I was in living hell because I was doing something I didn't feel like I was worthy of. I didn't feel that I could do it, and I felt very sorry for myself. And I felt separated from everyone because I didn't know as much as them, or they knew more than me, or I wasn't the person that they wanted. I didn't wear the right hairdo. I didn't wear lipstick. I didn't speak well. You know, there were all kinds of places where I could go for separation. And there was this other quality in my life which I never kind of met before, which was indifference. Just very difficult for me. And people just did what they wanted to do without any thought, it seemed, and without any understanding. And even though I didn't have anything to give them, I somehow wanted them to give it to me. And that was something that was very, very difficult for them to do, obviously. So in these last 30-some years, what I've learned is a lot about heart, compassion, gratitude, and love. And as I went through the last year and a little bit more, I realized that it was such a battle sometimes during the days to apply these to my existence, to what was happening in my body, and also to the people around me. And I really appreciated the practice of Reiki, because every day when I would be treated and when I treated myself, I came back to this place where all these things existed, even if it was just for 5 minutes. So I'd like to take you back into your own year, maybe your own life, and just talk a little bit about these four words. And they're more than words. They're complex things that we might have an idea about in our mind, or we might have an understanding of what it would be to feel those. But one of the things that Reiki has brought to me, the practice of Reiki has brought to me, is that I've been able to experience them. And you must remember, for me anyway, that each of these feelings, each of these qualities, has degrees. You know, we start with a degree which can be, as we might call it, very surface. Something that looks like love but isn't really love, maybe. And one of the things that Reiki does is it brings us to the very core of these experiences. But a little bit for our mind, a little bit for our heart, and a little bit for our feelings in this next hour, and hopefully a little bit for you for the next year. First of all, I'd like to address this concept of heart in Japanese, in the Japanese language and in the Japanese culture. This for me is really a core understanding that will help in our Reiki practice because I think it will. And in the Japanese language, the word kukuru is the word that is often used for heart, but it has much, much greater feeling or scope in the Japanese language than it does in the English language, I feel. And maybe not. Maybe this is just my learning about the word heart in English. I'd like to read to you a definition by Shohaku Okumura, and he is a Zen priest who now lives in Illinois, and this is from a website. Kukuru. When I moved to Minneapolis from Japan in 1993 to teach at the Minnesota Zen Meditation Center, my daughter Yoko was 5 years old. She went to kindergarten and then elementary school there. And while she learned English at school, at home we tried to talk in Japanese. One time, when she was 7 or 8, we were talking about the Japanese word kukuru. I pointed to my heart, as we usually do in Japan, to show where kukuru is. She pointed to her head and said, "Kukuru is here." I was amazed to discover that she was already translating the Japanese word kukuru into the English word mind. Kukuru is a common Japanese word that carries meanings conveyed by the English words mind and heart. It is used as an equivalent of the Chinese word zhen and covers almost the same range of meanings. The Japanese use Chinese characters to write Japanese and have also studied Chinese literature as an essential part of both secular and Buddhist education for more than 1,500 years, which has led to a convergence of meaning between Chinese and Japanese for many classical words. The Chinese ideogram for zhen depicts the shape of a heart, the actual organ in the human body. Since ancient Chinese people thought the heart was where psychological function took place, the character conveyed a range of meanings, including the heart organ, the heart generally, mind, feeling, intention, center, and core. The entry for kukuru in a dictionary of classic Japanese words communicates similar notions. Originally, kukuru referred to the beat of the heart, which was considered to be the essential organ of life and the source of all activities. By extension, kukuru refers to all human activities affecting the outside world through intention, emotion, and intellect. Kukuru then has three basic meanings: the heart and its functions, mind and its functions, and center or essence. When I think about my own experience of my heart as I practice Reiki, this is my experience. It takes a while to get to that experience because my mind is often doing other things. But maybe that's okay too, that and all of its functions still has to do with the heart. Because often what happens when our mind goes off in another direction, we would say, that it's actually gathering itself to come back to its core. For me, if we were to imagine a quality that would be on the other side of heart, mind, of our heart, it would be separation. For me, in this practice of Reiki, we learn to be one. One with ourselves. One so our heart and mind is congruent. And one with everyone else. And everything else. So we are less and less separated, feeling less and less separated from others, from the universe out there, and also from those things, those people, those other people inside of ourselves that we know are there. This is something that I really had a very intense experience of during the last year, because I didn't have the energy to hold up those things that allowed me to be separate from each other, from other people, from myself. I didn't have the energy to hold up those shields that defended me from feeling, from thinking in that way. So without knowing it, without wanting it, and certainly without having a mind to doing it, my heart became more open, more at peace, more within me. And as that happened, and the process, of course, is still happening, I realized that I walk a very, very thin line between compassion and self-pity. I used to lay down in my chair in the chemotherapy rooms, and there were always usually three other people there, and I always felt a little bit happy that mine were not as complicated, my treatments were not as complicated, and they didn't seem as long as these other people's. But I also knew that our fears, our pain, our processes were very similar. And in the moments of self-pity, I could feel myself having pity for other people, like feeling sorry for them, wanting to make it okay, wanting to make me feel okay by thinking, well, at least I'm not sitting in the chair for 5 hours. And there were moments in that room where that left me. And there was a feeling of compassion that we were all one. And we were supporting each other in whatever we were processing and feeling and being at the time. Warriors, one and all. And in those moments, I was inspired by the people who were there, wondering at their courage and their willingness to undergo such intense treatments, and feeling the sweetness of my own courage, my own willingness to confront such amazing fear. One of my sayings was, and is still, is that fear was my ally. Fear was something that opened doors, and the opening door for me was compassion. I also was able to experience amazing giving and was challenged, and my heart was ready, really, to open and to receive. And I'm filled with gratitude for all that has been given to me through this process. And love comes in so many ways, so many ways. Sometimes people were angry. How could this happen to you? Don't they know that you're the grandmaster of Reiki? Why didn't you do something about it? And even in that, I heard love. Some people thought that I needed to have a different kind of treatment. Why wasn't I just depending on Reiki? Or shouldn't I be doing lots and lots of other therapies? And I knew in my heart that I was following my own path. And I could hear the love that came from these people. I heard some people say, "You're doing the right thing. I support you. And I can hear that they might have wanted me to do something different, but they were willing to support me no matter what. And I heard the love in that too. It was love because it was not indifference. And that was such a huge understanding for me. You know, I grew up thinking that hate was the opposite of love. But what I know now is that indifference is the absence of love. And I got, when I received all this love with my open heart, I got to be grateful. And I got to confront those places in myself that felt unworthy. And you know what's so amazing to me is that I don't know how we come to equate the value of who we are as human beings, as individuals, with what we receive. That equation just doesn't work for me anymore. And yet, sometimes it pops up that I get to see again that gratitude is about simply opening my arms naturally, letting the energy flow through me naturally, and allowing my heart, mind, to be one. During this year, I also had to figure out what was going on for me spiritually. What was happening to me? And I realized that I have a very strong conviction of this practice for myself, that it is my spiritual path, and that it has led me to many other kinds and practices of spirituality, but this has been my opener, my comforter, my sustainer, and will be until it isn't. And I don't foresee that happening in the near future. One of the things that did happen was that I got to have time to do a lot more things that put me into the space of my own spirituality. I was able to sing more. And one of the people that I connected with in the music that I played for myself and sang for myself during this year was introduced to me by a woman and a Reiki master named Shanti Schneidler, who is from Germany. And many, many years ago, she was selling at an open market these CDs by David Prumel. And she said, "You'll just love this music, Phyllis." And I did, but I didn't really get the music until this year. I've played David Prumel during Reiki treatments, you know, in my home when I wanted some peaceful, quiet moments. But during this year, what I needed to do was to do some yoga, and I was able to do that. And when I did, I played Deva Pramal, and there were a few of the chants that really touched my heart, and I could just feel this permeating my whole body, and it felt healing. It felt like a wonderful, another way to receive Reiki in some way. And I realized that accepting this experience would not threaten my own practice. It would just enhance it. And I understood then a lot of what people have been talking to me about over the years, about Reiki enhancing their own spiritual practice or their own practice enhancing their Reiki. So the other thing that happened, which was, I guess there are no coincidences, but as a part of my healing path, I was able to go to concerts by Deva Premal and Mitten, her partner. One was here in Tucson, which was just unbelievable. It's a very small theater, and we sang and chanted with her, and I realized there were a lot of people who thought when you went to a concert like this that you were played to, and of course they play with, and they invite everyone to chant and to sing with them, and that's part of the experience. And then at the end of September, I was on my way to Moscow, Russia, and I found out that they were playing in Moscow the day that I arrived. So a number of Reiki students, well, what I did was first is that I wrote to a couple of people that were meeting me at the airport, and I said, you know, this concert is happening and I'd like to go. I know it's the night that I arrive in Moscow, but it's very important for me to go to this concert. So there ended up to be this group of Reiki students and masters who went to this concert, and it was an amazing experience. It was, again, another opening, another experience of kukuru, another experience of compassion, of gratitude, and of love. And out of these concerts, there came one chant that I have really, I don't know, gives me a certain experience, and I'd like to share this with you. And I want to just say that I have not asked Deva Premal and Mitten if I can play this over the air, but I recognize them as the people who brought this chant to us in a certain way. Of course, these chants are very, very old, and from a wonderful ancient tradition from India. And but this chant and the chants that they play touch my heart and allow me to deepen and enhance my experience of Reiki. Perhaps you'll find this to be true, and perhaps not. But I'd like right now to talk to you about this chant. The name of the chant is Ad Gure, and basically it's a chant to the guru. And the word guru is another word that is from, well, it's not really translatable into English from the Indian language. And it means to come from darkness to light, to be the pathway from darkness to light, to touch the place of darkness and allow it to become light. And I feel that this is the same thing that Reiki does. You know, the guru traditions are not about sex, as in surrendering everything and surrendering your will, because when that happens, then it's not really love. It's giving away yourself, which is not healthy. When we talk about surrender, it's about knowingly opening oneself and allowing oneself to touch the darkness and to be the light. And I feel that this is where this song really touches me. So I'd like to play it for you, and I'm going to sing it for you and with the recording. And, you know, I have this little attachment about my voice and so on. And she sings it in a key that just is not mine, but it also pushes me again once more to open to gratitude and compassion and forget about feeling sorry for myself. As usual with these, this part of the New Year's meditation, or the New Year's show, excuse me, it will be a kind of meditation, and we might say that it's a singing meditation this time, and also a meditation of gratitude that's filled with heart, filled with kukuru, filled with compassion, and energized by love. So get yourselves ready, be comfortable, have your hands on yourself, doing self-treatment, and we'll at first listen, and then we'll start singing.
Amen.
In gratitude for our parents, our teachers and our elders, in gratitude for the children, in gratitude for the fire that burns inside of each of us. In gratitude for all those that touch us, who are not indifferent, in gratitude for all those people inside of us, all those beings wanting to be light. Take deep breaths. And with each deep breath, go deeper into yourself. Allowing your heart, mind to come to oneness. Ad Gure, Truga, Gure Name, Sat, Gure Name. Siri Guru Deve Name. Let me love my darkness. Let me love my light. Let me love those who touch my darkness. And let me be grateful for those who touch my light. Let me have compassion for myself, for those around me. We all do our best, no matter what. We have our path. We have our lessons. And they are all gifts. Ad let your voice join with hundreds of others around the world in this New Year's time. I give thanks for the spiritual lineage of Mikao Usui, Chijiro Hayashi, and Awayo Takata. Who brought this gift of Reiki, the energy of life, to us. In a way that we can experience it, experience the oneness that is the truth of being human. I give thanks for all those people who have touched our lives, awakened us to our oneness. I give thanks for this beautiful body, this essence of who we are in our heart mind, kukuru. I give thanks for the language of Japanese, that gives us this concept so we might have something to look for in our horizon. I give thanks for the thousands of years of living on this planet that has brought us these chants, these experiences of oneness through laying our hands on each other, through song, through music, through dance, through art, through a glance in each other's eyes. Ones knew that at the end of the year, it was not resolution that brought us the sun again in the morning. It was gratitude. Gratitude for all that we have. Gratitude for all that will come. And gratitude for being. I have gratitude for the beings of Deva Pramal and Mitten and their musicians who bring us this way of experiencing gratitude. So much has happened in our lives. So many people have touched us. And now they touch us not only in person, but over the phone, over the web, through Facebook and Twitter. And we know now, in our thoughts and in our minds, our hearts are open. It is this quality of experience that our practice of Reiki is known for. It is this quality of experience that keeps us coming back, even though sometimes it's difficult. And it is this quality of experience that allows us to really know that we are one. Experiencing the full gamut of experience of being human. What a miracle. And it is ours. For the year 2010, this is Phyllis Furumoto signing off another year of programs of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Sugar.